Amen. Turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to the book of Luke. We're going to take a break from Esther for a week to consider something at our doorstep, namely Thanksgiving. Did you know that was coming next week? Next Thursday? A regular occurring event. Luke chapter 17, and we're going to be down about a verse 11, I believe. Yep, that's right. Luke chapter 17. We're going to be there in just a minute. Governor William Bradford, one of the first, or the first, actually, of New England colonies, 3 years after the pilgrims settled in Plymouth, he made this proclamation. He said, "To all ye pilgrims, inasmuch as the Great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, squashes, of garden vegetables, has made the forest to abound with game of the sea, fish and clams," it says. "Inasmuch as he has protected us from the raids of the savages, has spared us from pestilence, diseases, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our conscience," he says, "now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all you pilgrims, with you wives and you little ones," he says, "do gather at ye meeting house on ye hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November, ye 29th year, ye 29th of the year of our Lord, 1623, and the third year since ye pilgrims landed on ye Plymouth Rock, there to listen to ye pastor and render thanksgiving to ye Almighty God for all of his blessings." It's the first proclamation, Thanksgiving. Don't know if you know the history of Thanksgiving. It wasn't actually a holiday. They just did it one time. It didn't become a holiday or a regular occurring thing until over 140 years later after this proclamation. President Lincoln, under his administration, they made it a annual thing. Of course, Thanksgiving is not just something we do on a Thursday at the end of the month of November. It should not be. Thanksgiving for a Christian ought to be a way of life. In fact, the scriptures command it. Look at what it says. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. "Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and songs of the, from the Spirit, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always," of course the emphasis is mine, "always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So it's not just the last Thursday of the month, right? Always. When is always? It's always. Day and night, summer, winter, spring, fall, good times, bad times, it says always. 1 Thessalonians carries a similar chord. It says, "Since rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances." Are you doing that? "For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus," it says. Thanksgiving is such an important thing. Just the simple giving of thanks is such a valuable thing for us. It's so important. Like I said, the scriptures say it's supposed to be our lifestyle. It's supposed to be what we're about. Rudyard Kipling, of course, famous author, writer, one of the few writers that actually made a significant amount of money while he was living, he could actually spend on himself, had a reporter come to him, and the reporter handed him a $100 bill. And he said, "Mr. Kipling, this $100 bill is for you." And he said, "What for?" He said, "Well, the best we can tell, your writings, you make so much money with your writings that your words are valued about $100 a piece. So I'm giving you a $100 bill," and he says, "I want you to give me one of your words." So he looked at the $100 bill, folded it up, put it in his pocket, and he said, "Thanks." Smart. It is a very valuable word. It really is. So this morning we're going to be sharing with you three things that we can learn about Thanksgiving from the scriptures. First thing we can learn about Thanksgiving from the scriptures is that it's supposed to be expressed. That's where you are, Luke chapter 17. Look at verse 11. It says, "And it came about while he was in the city on the way to Jerusalem," Jesus, that is, "that he was passing between Samaria and Galilee, and he entered a certain village. 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him, and they raised their voices, saying, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And he saw them, and he said, 'Go and show yourselves to the priests.' And it came about that as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been cleansed, healed, turned back, glorified God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan, it says. And Jesus answered, were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was not one found who turned back to give glory to God except this foreigner, he says? Rise, he says to this man, go your way, for your faith has made you well. This guy, it says, was a Samaritan. Go your way, he says, for your faith has made you well. It's interesting, why would he say something like that to them? Weren't they all healed? It doesn't say that it was reversed with any of them. But he pronounces, if you will, a special blessing on this guy who comes back and says, thanks. Thank you. This guy comes back to glorify God. They all were healed, none more than the other. But it's almost like this guy has a special healing. He receives this special grace, if you will. Jesus pronounces this special grace over them. Even though all were healed physically, this guy received a healing that was altogether different. Almost like I said, it's like he received more than a physical healing. A spiritual healing, a mental healing. They were all, and that's what Thanksgiving does. It doesn't just, okay, God has blessed my life, all right? I have good health. I have money. I'm doing well. My kids are doing well. Okay, great. What have you done with that? Have you returned thanks? See, it completes the whole circle, completes the whole cycle. Thanksgiving is so vitally important. It does something to us, changes something in us. Experiment done by a New York Central magazine. They set a guy who was acting like he was blind with a little tin cup on a sidewalk. And they hung a sign around his neck, dark glasses. He wasn't blind, but he was an actor. Sign around his neck that just simply said, I'm blind. And he would sit on the corner all day and collect money. And then they would set him back on the same corner dressed differently with a sign that says, it was springtime. It said, it's spring and I'm blind. Guess what happened when they did that? They alternated days, like I said, some days just saying blind and some days saying it's spring and I'm blind. He'd make 4 or 5 times the money with the sign that said it's spring and I'm blind. Why is that? Because people would realize not only can he not see, but look at what all I can see. All the experiences that I'm having. I see the birds. I see the flowers. I see the sunshine. I see the trees. I see the fresh leaves, and this guy, it helped them understand the gratitude that they have. And that gratitude changed them. Some days with just the sign that says, I'm blind, he'd make $4. Never met less than 40 with the sign that said, it's spring and I'm blind. Sometimes way more than that. Interesting, isn't it? When we express thanksgiving, we complete a circle. This leprous guy goes away and comes back. He makes a full circle, if you will. He's healed. He realizes it. He comes back to the one who heals him, and he says thanks. And that's exactly what happens to us. We complete a circle when we say thanks. We complete a wall. God builds a wall in our lives of blessings, of health, of prosperity, of good relationships. All these things are like a wall around us, but a wall is only good as its weakest link. 99% of a wall is the same as not having a wall. Because that 1% opening is a place where the enemy can come in and do all kinds of stuff to us. And that's exactly what happens. When we fail to return thanks, we fail to build our piece of the wall. God's done all these things for us, all these blessings. And you don't say thank you to him, leaves you open for a lot of bad stuff. In fact, the scripture pronounces quite a bad prognosis on those who fail to give thanks. Look at what it says in Romans. Chapter 1. For even though they knew God, speaking of humanity, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. Big mistake. Because look at what it leads to. They became futile in their speculations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and of four-footed animals and crawling creatures. So what happens to us when we fail to give thanks? Well, first of all, it's foolish not to give thanks, is what it says, just right out. You're acting a fool if you don't say thank you to God. And if you continue to act a fool, you're going to wind up doing foolish stuff. It says they acted a fool, and then it says their foolish heart was darkened, and they came up with these futile speculations. What is futile speculations? How we got here? I would put evolution as a futile speculation. It is definitely speculation. Never been proven. Can't be proven. It's futile. It's from the premise of how can we prove there is no God? That's where it was created from. And so they came up with this system that, like I said, has no scientific backing whatsoever. Scientists' opinions, but I can't see why I should go with his belief system as opposed to my belief system. He believes it. I believe what I believe. All right? Futile speculations. Futile speculations. We begin to justify anything and everything in our lives when we fail to give thanks. Coming up with reasons why we don't have to be what God says we're supposed to be. We become futile in the things that we do. Our foolish heart becomes darkened. And as a result of that, we start doing really stupid stuff. Worshiping birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. You ever wonder how people in the Bible could bow down and worship something that their hands have made? Well, it doesn't just, you don't wake up one day and start doing that. But I'll tell you where it starts. Failure to give thanks. Failure to acknowledge God by giving thanks. Not giving thanks is a dangerous thing. Like I said, opens us up for all kinds of stuff that you don't want in your life. Makes us open to, like I said, foolishness. So you see what our founding fathers were trying to deliver us from. How important Thanksgiving is. Expressing thanks, though, is also more than just simply saying thank you to God. It's a lifestyle. We express thanks in many different ways, and I'm going to give you some of these things. We express thanks by spending time with Him. He saved us for what reason? So that we could serve Him? No. All eternity is going to be a place where we're just simply going to be His. That's what He saved us for. So He could have us. And so He saved me. He rescued me from my sin. He sent His Son to die on the cross, and I don't spend time with Him? What does that say to Him? Well, I'll tell you what it doesn't say. It doesn't say thanks. That's exactly what it doesn't say. We say thank you to God when we forgive others. We talked about that last time. How important it is that since I've been forgiven, that I forgive. How can I say truly I'm grateful for the forgiveness that God has given to me when I hold grudges and bitterness toward other people? No matter how horrible it is, it's not near as horrible as what we've done against God. Don't you agree? So we say thank you to God when we forgive. We say thank you to God when we serve in the church. So important that we serve people because we were served. Someone cared about you to teach you. To help you, to lead you, you need to do the same thing. We say thank you to God when we share His plan of salvation. How much more should we be thankful? I mean, if I'm grateful for my salvation, shouldn't I share that with somebody? Shouldn't I tell somebody? We say thank you when we do that kind of thing. We say thank you to God when we give Him our best, not our leftovers, our best. So there's many ways we can say thank you to God. So first of all, thank you needs to be expressed. Second thing we can learn from the scriptures about Thanksgiving is the breadth, what it should cover. Remember the verse we looked at before? 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. If I stopped the service right now and I said, everybody bow your heads, close your eyes, and thank God for 10 things, what would that list be? Go ahead and think of it. It'd be, for me, if you just caught me off guard, I'd be thankful for all the good things in my life. There'd be more than 10, by the way. I'd be thankful for the good things in my life. I just from shooting from the hip, I wouldn't thank God for the difficulties that I experienced or am experiencing. It's just not a natural thing that I would be thankful for those kind of things. But notice, that's not what the scripture tells me to do. It tells me to be thankful in all circumstances, not just the favorable circumstances, not just the ones that I wanted, not just the ones that I prayed for, not just when God came through the way I wanted Him to, but I'm to be thankful in all things. Are you doing that? If you're not doing that, then you're not doing that. If you're not doing that, you're disobeying the scriptures. Don't do that. Obey God. Do what He says. All things, like I said, all in the scriptures literally means all. Every last thing we should be thankful for. We should be grateful for these things. There was even the difficult things, even the burdens. There were some scientists that created this unique experiment. In order to experience or in order to enact this experiment fully, they had to involve themselves in it. It was called Biosphere. Biosphere 2 was a number of years ago. And what happened was these scientists sequestered themselves inside of this more or less a bubble, controlled environment. And inside this control environment had different sections, and inside each section they would create different micro ecosystems. They created a desert. They created an ocean. They created a rainforest. They did all kinds of things They could simulate sunlight. They could do all these things. The only thing they could not simulate the seasons. The only thing they could not simulate accurately was wind. Because wind, you know, it comes from different directions. It has different temperatures, at different speeds. It has gusts. It has all kinds of things. And they could get a steady wind going, but they couldn't get the standard wind. You know, sometimes it blows, sometimes it doesn't. They couldn't simulate wind accurately. And the result was that the plants that they grew, especially the fruit-bearing plants, died. Here's the way they died. They grew lush. They were beautiful. They would produce fruit on more than one occasion, more than a year, because they could change the photo period, and because of the change of the photo period, they would get fruit growing on the trees more often. And so they did all these kind of things, but what happened was the plant would grow spindly, very thin trunk, because there was no wind. And as soon as it would produce a lot of fruit, it would snap and break over. Wind was, they found out, very significant for the life of a plant, because without wind, the tree or the plant cannot do what it's supposed to do. Same is true for us. What are the winds that are going on in your life? I don't like wind. I don't like burdens. I don't like trouble. I don't like things that keep me up, make me distracted, if you will, from just the fun or the good times I want to have. I don't like those things, but they are necessary because they make me sturdy. So what are the winds in your life that you can be thankful for? There's been some in your past, I'm certain, that you can look back and say, you know what, it was terrible, but God blessed me through that. God grew me through that. I know my own personal life, so the biggest growth I've ever had with God is because of the tough times I went through, not the easy times. I learned very little in easy times. I learned a lot through tough times. A lot about myself, a lot about others, a lot about what not to do. Got a real education. So grateful for those times because God used those times to make me more and more sturdy, and he's still doing that in my life. The third thing that we see that we can learn from the Bible about Thanksgiving, it is, I guess most importantly probably, it is expected. Notice. It tells us, give thanks in all circumstances. Notice, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Somebody ask you, what is God's will for my life? There you go. What does God want me to do with on my day to day? You have your answer. It's probably a more broad answer, but we got a big chunk of it taken care of right here. Start with Thanksgiving, end with Thanksgiving, live through the day with Thanksgiving. It is God's will for you that you be thankful, because like I said, it closes us off from so many things that God doesn't want in our life, opens us up to so many blessings that God would rather us have. Like I said, this leper comes to Jesus. And he's no more physically healed than the other ones, but there was a special healing for him that he only got through Thanksgiving. He only received through Thanksgiving. To give thanks, like I said, is expected. It's God's will for us. It's the mark of a growing Christian. How do you know a Christian is growing? Because they give thanks. How do you know a child is growing? They learn to say thank you. You got a colicky baby. You walk all night with him. This is my experience. You're up all night, you're afraid you're going to fall asleep standing up and fall and hurt you and the child. He finally goes to sleep. You lay him down in his bed. He rolls over and says, thanks. That's not what happened. They don't do that. Babies don't do that. What mine did is rolled over and started screaming again, as if I had done nothing. But you expect that. I mean, that you don't expect thank you out of a baby. You have to teach that to them. You have to enforce that on them. And then as they grow, you no longer have to say, what do you say to your 18-year-old, 19-year-old, 27-year-old? If you have to say that, you probably better just knock them in the head. Because they're not growing. They're not maturing. Something is wrong. A mark of maturity, a mark of a growing Christian is gratitude, thankfulness. It is, like I said, it is to be expected. God expects us from it very clearly. Psalmist said, it is good to give thanks to God. It is indeed good. Good for you. Good for others. You want to be around a bitter person or a thankful person? You know, it's an easy question to answer, isn't it? What kind of person do we need to be? An attractive person to the Spirit of God lives in me, and I know Christ is personal Savior, and I'm a member of a church, and what kind of person should I be? Well, many things, but I should be a thankful person. I should be a person filled with gratitude. And they should, it should resonate from my life. A famous missionary, Henry Frost, served many years in China. In his journals, he wrote of a difficult time he experienced in his life. I want to read you what he said. He said, "I had received sad news from home. Deep shadows had covered my soul," he said. "I prayed, but the darkness did not vanish. I summoned myself to endure," he says, "but the darkness only deepened." He said, "Then I, in an inland station, quite a while later, I saw on a wall in a mission home these words, just these simple words. Somebody painted them on the wall, and it said, 'Try Thanksgiving.'" That's all it said. "Try Thanksgiving." He passed by the sign and he saw it and he was like, "Try Thanksgiving. What does that mean?" "Oh, like you've tried everything else. Why not try Thanksgiving?" He said, "So I did that. And in a moment," he said, "every shadow was gone, not to return." What are you trying today? Been through a tough time? We do. God didn't promise us a bed of roses. He said, "In this life you will have tribulation." That's a promise. Some of those things we really need. A lot of them we really need. You pray, but they're still there. You've told yourself to keep going, but some, they don't disappear. They only go deeper. Well, let me give you a suggestion. Try Thanksgiving. It is expected. It is. It is to cover not just the good stuff you go through, but also the tough stuff. Thankful in all circumstances, it says. And it is to be expressed. Not just words that say, "Thank you, God," but a lifestyle that says, "Thank you. I'm thankful for my salvation. That's why I share salvation. I'm thankful for your forgiveness. That's why I don't hold grudges. I'm thankful for the way people serve me. That's why I serve." Thankfulness. I'm going to ask if you would bow your heads and close your eyes with me. And again, ask you a question. Are you thankful? Have you been thankful? Have you fallen into the trap of being only thankful for the things that you like? It's a trap. Being thankful for only the things that I like says that things are allowed in my life that God, they get around God. And that's just simply not true. That's very bad theology. God, who is sovereign, allows the blessings and the burdens. He can't be blamed for those burdens, but he does allow them, and they are for our ultimate good because he can make all things work together for good. Are you being thankful for those things? Let's be thankful today. Heavenly Father, we want to return you thanks. We think of this one who was leprous. Just like us, sin is a leprosy of the soul. And you have saved us. But have we continued to walk away? Maybe we glanced over our shoulder and just said, "Hey, thanks." But it needs to be much more than that. We need to come like this man did and bow ourselves at your feet and say, "Thank you, God. Thank you so much for what you've done for me. Thank you, Lord, for not giving me what I really deserve. Thank you, God, that even though I'm going through a tough time or have experienced rough patches in my life, it's still not what I really deserve. Thank you, God. Thank you for where I am and what I'm going through. Thank you for being who you are in my life. Thank you for your great grace that is enough to carry me through all these things, good or bad. Thank you, God." We do thank you, God. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.